Bondi stabbing, how killer Joel Kochi slipped through the cracks, date modified colon 2025-0531T04:2933.362Z, description colon an inquest is examining whether there were missed opportunities to stop Joel Kochi's stabbing rampage, comma dot. How Bondi mass killer slipped through the cracks in Australia, May 31, 2025, save, Lana Lam BBC News reporting from Sydney, save, NSW Police, Jade Young's mother said her daughter's death was the result of cumulative failures, for many, Saturdays are something to look forward to, relaxed times, enjoyed with family and friends. But Elizabeth Young dreads them. It's a weekly reminder of her daughter Jade's violent murder at Westfield Bondi Junction. On a lovely autumn afternoon, to learn your daughter is dead, stabbed in broad daylight, killed amidst fellow unsuspecting shoppers. When she was living, breathing, just an hour ago, it's the stuff of nightmares, of a parallel universe, Elizabeth told an inquiry into the mass killing this week. The moment the attacker casually plunged that knife into Jade, our ordinary lives were shattered. Her pain was echoed by families of the other victims who gave emotional testimonies on the final day of a five-week coronial inquest into the fatal stabbings on April 13 last year. The inquiry sought to understand how a 40-year-old Queensland man with a long history of mental illness was able to walk into the popular Sydney shopping centre on a busy Saturday afternoon and kill six people, injuring 10 others including a 9-month-old baby. The court heard hours of evidence from dozens of witnesses, doctors, survivors, victims' families, police, in a bid to find out how, or if, Australia can prevent such a tragedy happening again. It seems to me that my daughter and five others were killed by the cumulative failures of numbers of people within a whole series of fallible systems, Elizabeth told New South Wales, NSW, Coroner's Court, shopping centre stabbings shock nation. It was a mild, sparkling afternoon, the first day of school holidays when Joel Kochi walked into the sprawling shopping centre, just minutes from Australia's most famous beach. Just before 15:33 local time, Kochi took a 30-centimeter knife from his backpack and stabbed to death his first victim, 25-year-old Don Singleton, EPA. Westfields in Bondi Junction is one of nation's largest shopping centres. Within 3 minutes, he had fatally attacked five others: Yuxuan Cheng, 27, Jade Young, 47, Ashley Good, 38, Faraz Tahir, 30, and Pikria Darkia, 55. Kochi also injured 10 others including Good's infant daughter. At 15:38, 5 minutes after his rampage started, Kochi was shot dead by police officer Amy Scott, who had been on duty nearby and arrived at the centre about a minute earlier. As news outlets reported on the killings, Kochi's parents recognised their son on TV and called the police to alert them about his decades-long struggle with serious mental health problems. Jade Young's family was also confronted by images of her on TV, describing to the inquest the horror of seeing video which showed her a lifeless body being worked on. Similarly, Julie Singleton, whose daughter Dawn was killed while queuing at a bakery, heard her daughter named as a victim on the radio before her body had even been formally identified and other relatives informed. The scenes at Bondi sent shockwaves across the nation, where mass murder is rare, and prompted a rush of anger and fear from women in particular. All except two of the 16 victims were female, including five of the six people who died. I saw him running with the knife, witnesses tell of Sydney stabbing horror, an attack on women that has devastated Australia. Sydney stabbings, who were the victims, missed opportunities for intervention. Getty Images, the killings triggered an outpouring of grief across Australia. A key focus of the inquest was to scrutinise the multiple interactions Kochi had with police and mental health professionals in the months and years leading up to the attacks. The inquest heard that Kochi was once a bright young man with a promising life ahead of him. His family say he was a gifted student, and had attended a private school on scholarship before topping his class at university. At the age of 17, in 2001, Kochi was diagnosed with schizophrenia and soon started taking medication for his condition. After a decade of managing it in the public health system, Kochi started regular sessions with psychiatrist Dr. Andrea Boroslavak in his hometown of Toowoomba in 2012. In 2015 he complained about the medication side effects, so Dr. Boroslavak started to gradually reduce his dosage of clozapine used for treatment-resistant schizophrenia after seeking a second opinion from another psychiatrist, the inquest heard. She weaned him off clozapine entirely in 2018 and Kochi also stopped taking medication to treat his obsessive-compulsive disorder the year after, she said. In 2019, for the first time in about 15 years, Kochi was no longer on antipsychotic medications. No second opinion on completely stopping either drug was sought by Dr. Boroslavak, she admitted under questioning. The inquest heard from medical professionals who said that in most cases, patients coming off antipsychotic medications transition to another one, rather than ceasing treatment altogether. Within months, Kochi's mum contacted his psychiatrist with concerns about her son's mental state after finding notes showing he believed he was under satanic control. Around the same time, Kochi developed what Dr. Boroslavak told the inquest was a compulsive interest in porn. She wrote a prescription but told the inquest it was up to Kochi to decide if he would start taking the medication again. In 2020, Kochi left his family home, moved to Brisbane and stopped seeing Dr. Boroslavak. At this time, after almost 2 decades of treatment, Kochi had no regular psychiatrist, was not on any medications to treat his schizophrenia and had no family living nearby. The inquest heard he began seeking a gun license, contacting 3 Brisbane doctors for a medical certificate to support his application. They either didn't request access to his medical file or weren't given his whole history by Dr. Boroslavak, who said if they needed more information they could have asked her for it. The 3rd doctor gave Kochi the clearance he was after, but he never applied for a gun, the court was told. Getty Images, Amy Scott, left, shot Joel Kochi dead after he ran towards her with a knife. Meanwhile Kochi was increasingly coming into contact with police. After moving to Brisbane, he was pulled over 3 times for driving erratically. In 2021, officers were called to Kochi's unit in Brisbane after residents heard a man screaming and banging sounds. In 2022, Kochi was reported to police after calling a girls' school to ask if he could come and watch the students swim and play sports. Officers tried to call Kochi but weren't able to reach him. In January 2023, Kochi had moved back in with his parents in Toowoomba and called police to complain that his father had stolen his collection of pigging knives. At this time, his mother raised concerns with the officers, saying he should be back on medication. Authorities can't detain people for mental health reasons unless they are a risk to themselves, and as the officers had assessed Kochi did not meet that description, they left, the court heard. After the call out, one of the attending police officers sent an email to an internal police mental health coordinator, requesting they follow up on Kochi. However, the email was overlooked due to understaffing, the inquest was told. Months later, police in Sydney found Kochi sleeping rough near a road after being called by a concerned passerby. By 2024, Kochi's mental health had deteriorated, he was homeless, and isolated from his family. 3 minutes that changed everything. Rohan Anderson, Joel Kochi, 40, was first diagnosed with schizophrenia as a teenager. The inquest looked closely at Kochi's mental health treatment in Queensland, with a panel of 5 psychiatrists tasked with reviewing it. They found that Dr. Boroslavak had missed opportunities to put him back on antipsychotic medication, one member of the panel saying she had not taken seriously enough the concerns from Kochi's mother in late 2019. The panel also gave evidence at the inquest that Kochi was floridly psychotic, in the active part of a psychotic episode when he walked into the shopping center. When questioned by the lawyer assisting the coroner, Dr. Boroslavak stressed, "I did not fail in my care of Joel." She had earlier told the inquest she believed Kochi was not psychotic during the attack and that medication would not have prevented the tragedy. Dr. Boroslavak said the attacks may have been due to his sexual frustration, pornography, and hatred towards women. But the next day, she withdrew that evidence, saying it was simply conjecture and she was not in a position to assess Kochi's mental state, having not treated him since 2019. However, the inquest is investigating whether Kochi targeted specific individuals or groups. For Peter Young, the brother of Jade, the answer seemed clear. Fueled by his frustration with not finding a nice girl to marry, his rapid hunt found 16 victims, 14 of which were women, he told the inquest. The NSW police commissioner in the days after the attack said it was obvious to detectives that the offender had focused on women. However, during the inquest, the homicide squad's Andrew Paul Marks said he did not believe there was evidence that Kochi had specifically targeted women. The inquiry also heard about a number of failings or near misses in the way security, police, paramedics, and the media responded to the attack. It was told that recruitment and training pressures for the security provider meant that the center's control room operator was not match fit for the role. At the exact moment when Kochi stabbed his first victim, the room was unattended as she was on a toilet break. Getty Images. Mass murders are rare in Australia and sent shockwaves around the nation. Security guard Faraz Tahir, the sole male victim of the stabbings, was working his first day in the job when he was killed trying to stop Kochi, raising questions over the powers and protection given to personnel like him. His brother, Muzaffar, told the inquest how Faraz died with honor as a hero and also acknowledged that Kochi's parents had lost their son. "We know that this tragedy is not their fault." The contractor responsible for security at the shopping center has since updated its training and policies, as well as introducing stab-proof vests for guards. Several families criticized media coverage in the wake of the attack, telling the inquiry they hoped the industry would reflect on how they should report sensitive stories so as not to further traumatize those affected. Lessons to be learned after weeks of evidence. The inquest was adjourned on Thursday with NSW State Coroner Teresa O'Sullivan expected to deliver her recommendations by the end of the year. At the start of the inquest, O'Sullivan said the hearings weren't about who was to blame for the attacks, but rather to identify potential opportunities for reform or improvement to enable such events to be avoided in the future. "I want the families to know their loved ones will not be lost in this process." EPA, Elizabeth Young, right, said she dreads Saturday afternoons as they are a constant reminder of her daughter's murder. Elizabeth Young, though, told the court, "For her, nothing good will come from the inquest. At 74, I have lost my way in life," she said, describing the crippling impact of the killings.